Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. Therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying, he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when every part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself in love.
Awesome. Thank you for that reading, Tiffany. If you've got your Bibles open, please keep them open. That'd be really helpful, but there'll also be some passages coming up on the screen behind me as I read them out. Welcome back to our second week of talks on our series on the work of the church. Don't worry if you missed out last week. You can catch up online if you like. But essentially, we spent some time thinking about the upward work of the church. That is, bringing glory to God in everything we do, both in our formal gathering and also in our lives. We particularly thought a bunch about why church is so important, why gathering with God's people should be a priority for us. And this week we are thinking about the next step now. This week we've thought about the upwards work of the church. This week we're thinking about the inwards work of the church. And then next week we're going to be thinking about the outwards work of the church in the world. And so this is where our passage Ephesians 4 comes in. Ephesians 4 is all about being a community of God's people. It's all about the reality of our salvation and how that plays out in community. One of the key areas of this is our Christian growth, our growing to maturity in Christ. If you haven't met me before, my name's Tom. I look after our ministry to students here at Euston Church. And part of my role, along with Elizabeth, is thinking about how do we do this really well. And so hopefully we're going to be able to think about that together tonight. How about I start by praying for us? Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that what you have to say now is so life-changing for us. And we pray that you would help us to think carefully about what it means for us to grow as Christians in community with one another and what it means for us to truly invest in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to start by telling you guys a story that some of you have probably heard before, but it's about a time when I was welcomed at a new church particularly poorly. I moved out of home when I was 18. I'd grown up in a youth group. I'd always had a lot of Christian support around me, and I joined the Australian Army. And I moved away to the capital of Australia, which is a place called Canberra, not Sydney. The reason why most of you think it's Sydney is because Canberra sucks. There's nothing there. It's just a massive kind of political center. And I was out of my comfort zone. I was away from my Christian family, and I didn't have very many Christian friends in the army. So I sought out a church. I was allowed to leave on a Sunday afternoon off base and go to church. And I rocked up. I won't say the name of the church because I really do love these guys, and I did grow in a really wonderful way when I was there. But unfortunately, I walked in, I sat down, and at first felt very welcomed. The person next to me started a conversation with me, who was really nice, went through the whole service, things seemed okay, enjoyed myself there, good teaching. But then at the end of the service, they announced that they then had a members-only dinner on. And at that point, the person who I just spent getting to know and I thought I was going to hang out with after the service just said, "Oh, it was nice to meet you, Tom. Goodbye." And got up and left. And everyone left. And I was the only new person. So this church like emptied before me. And it was just kind of me left. Now, I think most of us here would say that there's something wrong with that. But I wonder if you could quite put your finger on it. I wonder if you could define what was actually wrong with that situation happening, other than the fact that you all know that I'm an extrovert, and so I was just dying inside. You see, throughout Paul's letters, Paul seems to be deeply concerned with the behavior of people in the church towards one another, and how that is closely connected with their faith, with how they respond to the truth of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. I'm sure the guys who studied 1 Corinthians last year in midweek saw a ton of this. How they act, how they treat one another matters. Look at verses 1 to 3. "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." You see, the call to follow Christ, it's a gift. It isn't earned. We gain it through our faith, through our trust in Jesus. But once that is done, and we are part of God's people, that's not the end. Because now you are part of a family of other believers. And all of us look to Christ, desiring to live in response to the salvation that we have received. We are saved by faith. But once we become a Christian, we should seek to live as Christians, seek to live as those who follow Christ, in gentleness and in humility with one another, seeking to walk in a manner worthy of the calling we have received, bearing with one another. Last week we had this on forgiveness. Paul seems to really get, right, that church is not an easy thing to do. But he desires for all to live together in unity. In the first half of Ephesians, he's just spent a bunch of time describing this multi-ethnic nature of salvation that comes through Jesus. That Jew and Gentile, people from all nations, have come together in a gathering of God's people. And now he talks about the unity that comes out of that salvation together. "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." That as a community of believers, we may look different, but we are one. One community, one body, under the same Lord. And so Paul is emphasizing that salvation is open to all types of people from all backgrounds, but that we then become one body together. That we are no longer defined by those differences, but by the unity that we gain through our belief of the Savior of the world and our common goal of seeking to become more like Christ each day. Part of this unity is living in gentleness and in patience with one another, which really means often accepting that things don't really always go our way at church, do they? I don't know about you, but sometimes the activities or the socials that happen, they're often more suited to some people than others. But how are you viewing church? Have you come to consume, choosing on what that church will do for you? Or are you looking to be part of a body of believers in which you not only benefit from, but contribute to? Sometimes you may find yourself talking to someone at church who you might not particularly be choosing to talk to, who maybe is a bit more effort for you because they don't share the same interests or they're new, so you don't kind of have that familiarity yet. And the beauty of our salvation, well, that's that person is your brother or your sister. And Paul calls us to patience and gentleness, to give them your time, because that's what we do. You see, we don't ditch church because we have something better to do. We don't ditch people because we have someone that we prefer to talk to. We don't ditch church because we have to go and do something that we think is more important at the time or because we feel like we need to study. We go to church and we go to church and we go all to all of it because of what we believe. That in this body, we each have the same God, the same salvation, the same victory over death that transcends all of those things. And it means that we are far more united because of what we believe. And in a very real way, because we're a family. And so the first thing that we need to have understood tonight is that this concept of complete and perfect unity of God's people. The next thing that we need to understand is that unity is not uniformity. Verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase before, you choose your friends, but you don't choose your family. Church is a little bit like that, I've always found. My family is an incredibly outrageous group of people, depending on what side you go on. But me and my sister, me and my dad are quite kind of different to each other in different things. You've probably heard, I've complained from the front before, right, that my parents are vegetarians. It's an absolute nightmare for me at Christmas, or because my dad is evangelizing about it all the time. Right, we clash, but I love him to death. My sister, man, we'll start fighting at the drop of a hat. I don't know what it is, but we immediately take different sides on every single point of view. I don't choose my sister, but I love her dearly. She's my family. I'm united to her in a common identity of who we are. Unity is not uniformity, especially in a family of believers. According to the measure of Christ's gift means that people receive different things. We are one, but we are not all the same. Because according to his will and his spirit, we have each been gifted in different ways. Within this body, we are individuals in our own right because we do have different gifts, different ways that we have been equipped by God to serve him and to serve his people. So you see the pattern that is presented by Paul is different people from different backgrounds come together, united by the one Lord, becoming one body, who within that one body have different gifts. And this plays out in a few ways, but one of them is how we seek to grow together as God's people. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. You see, God's gifting of people seems to manifest in a number of different ways, different roles and responsibilities. But what is super clear from all of these roles is that growing in our faith and knowledge of the Son of God is one of the key purposes of the outpouring of God's grace to his people in the church. Part of walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called is growing to maturity in our faith, developing in our behavior and in our knowledge. It's not an optional extra. It is simply what Christians do. God has given us a body of believers in unity to help us in this. It is clear that there is a need for particular people with particular gifting to spend extra time training in order to fulfill this role for the church as teachers of the word. To spend time putting their gifts to work so that they can effectively support and lead God's people in this important task of growing in community. But the preacher and the teacher isn't the only way that we see this happen here at Euston. We also have midweek leaders People who are in a very real position that they are in for the purpose of helping us grow in our faith. People who have had their gifts affirmed for the purpose of building up the body, and they give up a huge amount of their own volunteer time to do this. It's a big responsibility. They give up a lot of their time to do it, as well as attending leaders' studies on top of the one that they lead you in. Alongside that is all the prep they do. So really what I want to say is just make sure you give those guys some love, and make sure you respond to their messages, because you definitely don't respond to mine. They put in a lot of their time because they are participating in our growth, the growth of God's people in this gathering. What I love about Student Midweek is Student Midweek is the place where a first-year history student will tell a sixth-year medical student that they're too busy to meet up with them. That we regularly struggle, right, to get over this barrier. But show these guys some love. They work so hard for you. But we don't just grow from preachers or our leaders, but we also grow from one another. You see, as we gather in our midweek groups, as we engage in the Word of God alongside our brothers and sisters, as we hear them each reflect on the Word of God and speak into each other's lives, we grow in our knowledge of the Son of God as the Spirit of God works through our brothers and sisters and speaks to us through them. I regularly learn from someone in one of my studies that I'm in, and it is a truly wonderful thing. Unity, but not uniformity. God's people growing together because we each have something to gain from the work God is doing in someone else's life, from the grace that he has poured out to them, from the gift that they have to serve us in as we seek to serve them with our gifts. Being together is so important as we live in light of the gospel because there is so much for us to gain from one another. And this is all so important because growing and maturing in your faith, well, it makes you more self-dependent. It prepares you for your future when faith may not be as comfortable as having a university gathering that you can come to like this. Or when you're under more pressure from work when you get there, to miss commitments, to your commitments that you have to gather with God's people that you have. You are mature in what you believe, and so you can stand for it on solid ground because you have spent time investing in your brothers and sisters and having them invest in you too. No longer as children tossed to and fro by the waves, but solid, mature Christian people who stand for what they believe and are committed to the gospel. It'll help you to not be taken off guard or distracted by false teaching because you have invested in your knowledge of the Word of God alongside people. You will be able to enter the workplace knowing that you find your identity in Christ and not in your work or anything else. And of course, you'll be committed to finding a new gathering if, God forbid, you have to leave London when you finish university. Growing in community is at the center of what church is. Verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You see, we need each other if we are going to grow to fullness in Christ. It's God's plan that this is how his people go about life and growth. That we would be the various parts of the body with our various gifts under the head of which is Christ, joined together so that it supports and builds itself up. That's what the body is doing. When you put in the effort to make sure you are at church and at midweek, then other people, other parts of the body actually benefit from your presence. We personally grow, but our contribution helps others. Fellowship is a mutually beneficial exercise where we each gain growth from the contributing gifts and insight that come from each of us by the Spirit. Something else that I think people often don't realize is you don't know who is struggling to go to church, and you don't know who has managed to get themselves there that day because they thought that you would be there too. What if they do that and you aren't? We need each other. Church is all of us. And there's another element to this which sounds a lot less fun, but is super important. It's back up in verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. I think all of us feel like we'll need people who have our back. I realized this recently when for one of the first times in a long time, I find myself doing some weights training on my own. Usually I do it with a group of people. But this time I was on my own. I was at a gym at the college and I was underneath the weight. And let's just say it probably doesn't surprise a lot of you that I can be a little bit overly motivated in what I think I'm going to be able to lift. Didn't have a spotter with me like I normally do. And before I knew it, there I was lying underneath the weight, having my chest compressed, wondering how I was ever going to escape from the situation. I needed someone to be there for me, either to tell me that it was a stupid idea and that I wasn't going to be able to lift that much, or that they could pick it off me at the time. I eventually did this embarrassing scramble out from under it, but it hurt a lot. Or sometimes, I don't know if you find this at university, but it's not always clear what assignments require of you, right? And I don't know how many times at uni I relied on the advice and wisdom of other people who were trying to interpret this assignment as well that helped me to understand. Sometimes we aren't able to do things on our own. Sometimes we actually just need other people there to help us do what we need to do. And sometimes with our faith, we get off track. Sometimes we lose sight of the kingdom and the community. As other shiny objects in the world distract us, sometimes we are children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Sometimes we set our minds on the earthly things that we talked about in Colossians 3 last week. And we need someone to point that out to us. You see, one of the blessings of being in a community of believers who are in unity with you is that there will be people with genuine love and care for you, who will then be willing to step up and just be that person to chat to you about it. When talking about this, we often use the scary word rebuke to describe it. But what it really is someone who really cares about you, just helping you stay on track. The way I like to think about it is imagine that all of us together, we're stood in a big circle around Jesus. And every once in a while, one of us gets a little bit distracted. And in the circle, we kind of just start to turn away a little bit. You see, speaking the truth in love, it's just that person next to you giving you that little nudge back into place. Just that little tap. How are you going? Are you okay? Hey, I've noticed this thing recently. Do you want to talk about it? Just that tiny, that little nudge that helps us get there. And instead, not waiting until someone's already turned all the way around, right, to turn them back in. It's a much more painful and difficult process at that point. It's a lot easier. It's a lot nicer for everyone if we just continue those little nudges, speaking the truth in love to one another, asking each other how our faith is going, checking in with one another. And that is one of the really big ways that community growth happens. We need a community like this because all of us have a tendency to start to turn away, and we need our brothers and sisters to just help us stay on track. We need what we can get from teachers, from volunteer leaders, and from each other. We need God at work amongst his people. Can you see that the body of believers in unity, made up from people who are gifted differently, is what we need so badly to grow in our faith? And the question really is then, are you committing to being part of that body of believers? Can you see that the body of believers is so needed? And if you aren't, why? Do you always leave church immediately afterwards without talking to a single other person? Are you ever involving yourself in community stuff like dinner? Are you actually going to church? How are you going to ensure that you set up habits now that will allow you to focus on what matters most, to allow you to focus on what's going to help you? Are you actually attending church? Because attending church is a lot more than sitting in a pew for an hour a week. You see, this community matters because of all these things. We need to be together to worship our God, but we also need one another for growth and support in Christian maturity. It does not make sense to be part of a church and to not take the opportunities that you have to invest in this. This is exactly why midweek is at the center of what we do. Why talking about what we are learning together when you hang out is part of what we do. Because as a gathering of believers here at Euston Church, here at 5 p.m., we are committed to growing in maturity in Christ, seeking to know him more through one another, seeking to point each other back to Christ as we start to turn away. Ask someone else how they are. Take that little bit moment to get over the fact that it's cold outside and get yourself here so that you can talk to someone and see how they're going. It may be a monumental changing moment for them that you were even here to talk to them at the time. And you need it too. Because we all need it. Because that's the inwards work of the church. Toby's going to come and pray for us now.
Great, let's pray. Our Father, we praise you for calling us into your family. And we praise you for why you called us. Because you're a God rich in mercy for us evil sinners. Please help us as a church respond to your mercy, to your calling, in a manner worthy of it. Please help us be gentle with each other, patient with each other, to bear with one another, especially when we find that hard. Please help us to use our gifts to serve each other and build each other up, rather than to tear down. Help us to speak the truth in love to one another, with wonderful things about Jesus and his counsel often be on our lips as we speak to each other, and help him be deeply precious to each of us in our hearts. Would he fuel all of our service of one another so that we would grow up to maturity in him? And with this, Father, we praise you for Jesus being proclaimed at our Thursday lunchtime student talks here. I thank you for all the wonderful things that people have seen so far about Jesus in the talks in Mark. Thank you for his rule and his power, for the hope of his kingdom without evil or illness, and much, much more. Please would more and more people come along to the Thursday talks, and would Christians and non-Christians alike continue to see amazing things about Jesus there that lead to joyful faith in him. And lastly, Father, we pray to you about the ongoing turmoil in Ukraine, and it's so sad to see the war continue, and to hear of these missile attacks that are causing power cuts across Ukraine and in Moldova. Father, please would you bring this war to an end, and would physical support be available for all those who need it, who are in difficulty in those places? Please would Christians there be bold to speak of Jesus, because he gives real hope in the face of such sadness and difficulty. Please too, would those Christians find great comfort in Jesus, knowing the hope of his kingdom, which won't have any war or sadness in it. And lastly, Father, we ask that he would come back soon and bring an end to all human injustice and bloodshed. Amen.